Good morning, and thank you for tuning in on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. This morning, we start in the midst of worship with this week's sermon. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
As we go before God in prayer, we surely each have family, friends, and people and issues all on our minds that we want to bring before the Lord in prayer. We do lift up a few families who have lost loved ones here recently. We pray for the family of Byron Moore. Byron was a longtime church member here, and so we pray for his family. We also pray for the family of David Seitz, one of our former pastors who passed away in recent weeks, and his services will be Friday in Galesburg. So we want to lift them up in our prayers, as well as all of the people and issues that we bring with us. Let us go before God in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the light that shone in Jesus, revealing your holiness to us and also revealing your righteousness. By your light, we are both encouraged and also humbled by our need for you and by our imperfection. We are reassured to see your face turned in our direction, imploring us to come to you, but we shudder when we think of the times that we have turned our backs on you, resisting the light that could mirror your glory, but instead we choose not to. We thank you, O God, for leaving your light in the world, even though we have not always listened when you have called us to become the light of the world. Instead of illuminating your character, we have blurred it. You've commanded us to love you with all of our being, but we have decided to minimize our love down to just Sunday mornings, just when it's convenient. You have commanded us to love our neighbors as ourselves, but we have become too preoccupied with ourselves to find them. You have called us to be peacemakers, and yet we have averted our eyes when we see opportunities to sow peace. When that has been right in front of us, we have looked away. You have summoned us to be wall breakers, and yet we have supported the wall makers with our silence and our sympathy. We have seen the light, but too often, God, we refuse to walk in it. But we long to keep your law and to do your will, O God, so we ask forgiveness for our rebellion, not merely for the sake of the joy that we have denied ourselves, but the joy that we have denied others. Keep ever before us the needs of the world for which you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, and for whose sake he gave himself to the fullest. Let us feel the world's pain as our own, seek the world's good as our own, and work for the world's transformation in the name of Spirit, of him who came into the world not to condemn it, but to redeem it. Lord, we lift up those in need today. May your light of love and healing spread to those who are struggling with health needs today. Meet them where they are. Strengthen them to grow healthier each day. Lord, extend your love and mercy to the lonely, to the anxious, to the depressed. Heal the hearts of those hurting and grieving. We specifically lift up the family of Byron Moore. We give thanks for his life, for his faithfulness, and we pray that as he is welcomed into your eternal glory, we pray that you would make your love and presence known to his family. We also pray that you would be with the family of David Seitz, comforting them as they grieve. Lord, your love is a healing and grace-filled love that knows no bounds. So we pray that all would welcome your love into their lives so that each could know and live in your life-giving light. We listen now, O God, for your word. Let its message illuminate our mind that we may will as Jesus willed. Let the spirit of your word quicken our hearts so that we may love as Jesus loved. Let its power speed our steps so that we may do as Jesus did. We give you thanks and praise for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and it is in his name that we pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we do open God's Word, waiting and craving and wishing to hear good news of strength and hope. And so we turn to the First Testament, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, beginning with verse 15. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bibles. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and to possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
We are wrapping up our New Year Same Promises sermon series here today. We've spent these first few weeks of 2020 together talking about how, though this is the time of the year for new calendars and new planners and new date books, even New Year's resolutions and new intentions, though everything around us at this time of the year is new, some things in life have not changed. The promises of God are the same for us today as they were last week and last month, last year, and they are the things that we can actually build our life upon. These are things that are true and steadfast in our lives. And so each week we've heard different promises that God has given us. Promises of new life. Promises of faithfulness, of calling, of ministry, of blessing. Last week we heard the promise that God will guide us and God will shape us in his love. No matter where we go or what we do, God's guidance will be upon our lives. And so here today, on this last week of the series, we hear the promise of freedom. God's promise of freedom in our life. And we get to ponder and consider and kind of mull over what it means to be free and made in the image of God here and now today. Now, I'm willing to bet that you've probably seen the 1939 movie, The Wizard of Oz. Some of us were born in the year 1939. Some of us were not yet born in 1939. But even if you weren't around then, I'm willing to bet that you have heard about Dorothy and Toto and trying to find their way back to Kansas. You've heard about the Tin Man and like the Scarecrow and like the Cowardly Lion. You know about the man behind the curtain and the flying monkeys. And you know about how this is one of the very first movies that was made in color. It must have been something to go to the movie theater and like see the moving picture show and have it there in black and white at the beginning, only to change to bright and vibrant colors. If you've seen The Wizard of Oz, then you know that at one point early on in the movie, Dorothy and Toto come to a crossroads. They are faced with a challenge. The yellow brick road that they have been following has now led them to a decision. And so if you've seen this, then you know that they've been following along. They've been singing along the way. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, 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 follow. Follow the yellow brick road. They've been singing, right? And so now they have. They're trying to get to the Emerald City to go back to Kansas. And you know, if you've seen this, that there at this point, the Scarecrow is standing in the middle of the field. And Dorothy and Toto don't know what to do. He says, some people go this way. Some people go that way. Some people go both ways, he says, when they're trying to find their way. And so they are there at the crossroads. They can see where they have been behind them. And the options in front of them are numerous and the future is yet to be determined. And they are there at that point when there are choices to be made, decisions before them about which way to go and travel in life. You see, it's like that for Moses in the Bible today. Moses is here. He has come to this yellow brick road kind of crossroads at the end of his life. You see, whenever we meet Moses here, he's come to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, like the very last of these first five important books of the Bible. These first five books of the Bible that tell us about God's story of creation, God's promises of blessing and salvation and redemption and hope to God's people. And so if you were to go back and read all of the book of Deuteronomy, you will see that for 26 chapters, Moses has been speaking and giving this long, long farewell, goodbye sermon. For 26 chapters, Moses has been trying to say goodbye. It's almost like Moses is from the Midwest, like he's from Iowa, like just like us, because maybe you know about, and maybe you've experienced the eight stages of like a good Midwestern goodbye. It starts with like the statement, well, I suppose we better be going, and then you sit there for a while longer, right? And then like the kids keep on playing, and then you finally say, well, we better be going, and like you give out the warning, and you finally stand up from the couch, and you begin giving hugs, and you move en masse to the doorway, and at the doorway, like the conversation keeps on going. And there are more hugs, and you squeeze into the hall, and they're in the hallway by the door. Someone puts their hand on the doorknob, and you keep on talking in the Midwest. We keep on talking. And finally, after a few opes and like a few more, well, I suppose we better be going, you finally open the door, and we finally leave 2.5 hours later after we say, I better be going. This is so fantastic because it is true. It is my life to a T, I swear to you. It is how we function. So maybe Moses is from Iowa like us. 26 chapters, he's been trying to say goodbye on and on and on, reflecting about what he's done and where God has led him. And so through all these chapters and in this long, winding sermon, you can almost picture Moses reflecting back, thinking about that time that he was standing in the open plain, and there before him was this burning bush. And God called him and said, go and lead my people. It was such a holy moment for Moses that he actually took off his shoes because that ground was holy. You can see Moses reflecting back on the cries of the people when they were suffering under the hands of the Pharaoh, stuck in slavery, crying to find freedom. You can see Moses picturing the people crossing the Red Sea when the waters had parted and they're like walking across dry land. You can picture them in that hot desert feeling what it was like to be in the wilderness for 40 long years. You can see him dreaming about the promised land across the Jordan River there in the distance, realizing that he's not going to make it, that he will in fact die in the desert. And it's up to the next generation to lead them to the promised land. And so Moses can see where he's supposed to go. And he can picture where he has been. And he's at this crossroads kind of moment as he has been leading the people of God. And so he says to all the people there, they have some choices. They can choose prosperity and life. They can choose death and adversity. They've come so far, they are slaves no longer, they are almost to freedom. And now there are choices to be made about which way they will go. And in fact, what they will do with this newfound freedom. I mean, maybe you know this to be true. I mean, we know this to be true. When we left home for the very first time, and we had this brand new kind of freedom, it was amazing. I mean, we could do anything we wanted. We can eat candy all day long because no one will be there to stop us. We can sleep late. We can never come to church. We could be late to class. We could like not even show up for work because there's no one to wake us up. We could watch any movie that we wanted to. We could stay out all night long because there was no one there to check in with. Literally every decision and every option was at our taking. Because for the first time, there wasn't someone telling us what to do. But we were free. And with this freedom, everything was before us. And so for Moses, this is the question. There in the wilderness, before the promised land could be reached, that's the question for Moses, and that's the question for us. When we're faced with crossroads in life, whom do we choose? What choices do we make? Do we choose prosperity and life in God's ways, or adversity and hardship in the other ways? Moses says, choose life. In fact, he even says, obey the commandments that God has commanded you by walking in the ways of God, by observing God's commandments and God's decrees and God's ordinances, and you will live and you will be numerous. He says, choose life so that your descendants may love the Lord, obeying him, holding fast to him, so that you may know life and the length of days. What he's saying to us is that we choose life by keeping the commandments in our own life and choosing to love God with all that we have, honoring our families, not lying and cheating and stealing, but worshiping God and only God. He's talking to us about treating God's people, all of them, with dignity and loving and serving all of humanity. He's even talking about offering grace and forgiveness because we have received grace and forgiveness. And it's not something that we have to wait until the end of our lives to do, whenever our obituaries are being written and we're thinking about all the things that we have done and how we have spent all of our days. It's not something that we have to wait until the very end, whenever folks say nice things about us, like we had a good life and we loved to work in the garden and play golf and we loved the Cardinals and the Cubs both equally at the very same time. We don't have to wait until the very end of life to make this choice. But like Moses, we realize the mistakes we've made and the grace that we've been given. And so Moses says at the crossroads and on this day, choose life in God's image. We're called to choose to follow Christ in all that we do. Because the road that we travel on in life may not always be yellow bricked, and the path is easy and smooth in front of us. There are some days when it's rocky and bumpy, and the way ahead is hard to see. But we're called to choose life and to love God in all that we do. Let us pray. Oh, loving God, we give you thanks for the teachers and the prophets, the women and the men, all those down through the ages who have taught your ways, who have loved you with all of their life, and have shared the message that now comes here to us. We give you thanks, O God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, for it's through him that we see you most clearly. It's through him that we know how to live, and we know the words to seek, and we know the grace to offer. And so bless us, O God, on these yellow brick roads of life, where the way is sometimes clear, but sometimes hard to see. May your Spirit live inside of us so that we can follow you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church Disciples of Christ here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town, in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a church home or looking to find a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, we hope that you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We have two services every week. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m. and features old-time favorite hymns and a wonderful anthem by our chancel choir. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 and features our amazing band and music that you hear from today's Christian radio. Both services offer a hope-filled and challenging message for today, activities for youth and children of all ages, and open communion for all who believe in Christ. There is no better way than to begin your week with worship, so I hope you will join us. You can find out more information by going to our website at www.burlingtondoc.org, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at burlingtondoc. We hope you have a great week and share the love of God with someone today.